The Secretary, a Gwen Morgana fanfic by Nimeard, read by Sophonisba. Morgana is not really what Gwen is expecting. She's young and tall and slender, with a lot of sleek dark hair and a warm, wet, red mouth, eyes like storm clouds. She wears a business suit like anyone else might wear a duvet, comfortably, with just the vaguest suggestion that she might not have anything on underneath. Gwen swallows and tells herself not to be ridiculous. But for the boss's daughter, that mean, overprivileged bitch who hires and fires and swans around on the millions of pounds of bonus her daddy awards her every year, no, this isn't what Gwen was expecting. Not someone who smiles like she means it and twitches her long, pale fingers self-consciously and offers her coffee and a hobnob. "I need a secretary," Morgana is explaining, fingers twitching on her desk, absently rearranging a sheet of paper, two pens, a notebook, flicking dust off her computer keyboard. "And you come fairly highly recommended." "Oh," Gwen says, wondering who exactly it was who recommended her. She's a little worried it might have been Arthur, who she got drunk with at the last office Christmas party and sucked off in a stationary cupboard. She hadn't known he was the company's vice president at the time. He looked awfully young to be the vice president of anything, and thankfully he doesn't appear to have told anyone. But the last thing she needs is a mysterious promotion to land on her desk courtesy of him, to set people's tongues wagging. She isn't like that, is the thing. She doesn't have one-night stands or drunken fumbles in stationery cupboards, especially not with men. Especially not since that incident with Merlin after he'd broken his nose in A&E. Really, she hadn't meant to kiss him, and dealing with his poor, crushed puppy-dog heart in the aftermath had been exceedingly unpleasant. Then there was that whole thing with Lancelot, and, all right, she really needed to learn not to mix men with alcohol. But she doesn't fuck people to get what she wants. She doesn't want anything, anyway. She likes her nice, quiet, productive life in the secretary pool, eating chocolate bourbons and drinking endless cups of tea and photocopying things and filing. She likes filing, actually. Genuinely. There's something very satisfying about alphabetizing things. It's soothing. And now she has no idea what Morgana's been talking about for the last 5 minutes. She abruptly tunes back in at the words, "pays substantially more than what you currently earn." Gwen blinks. How much more, exactly? Morgana flashes her a wry grin, writes down something on a stack of post-it notes, and shunts them across the table at her. Gwen takes a moment to work out exactly what number all those little zeros equate to, before deciding that it really doesn't matter. What matters is that she's never seen anywhere near that many zeros on her paycheck before. Oh, she swallows, hard. I see. Morgana laughs, then flushes. Well, I have to do something with the bonus Dad pays me. So. Gwen abruptly decides never to think badly of this woman, or her annual bonus, ever again. Look, Morgana spreads her hands on the desk. There are a few quid pro quos attached to that salary. I mean, you'll earn a lot more than you're currently paid either way. But if you want that salary, there might be a couple of other duties thrown in there, alongside the secretarial stuff. Gwen is confused. Other? Other, Morgana agrees. She's clearly waiting for Gwen to get something, which Gwen feels she ought to warn the woman will be a futile task. Gwen doesn't tend to get things, in her somewhat bitter experience. It's rather exemplified by that awful track record she has, with guys who she's not even particularly attracted to yet, falling completely in love with her, and expecting her to feel the same way. There's an unbearably awkward pause, and then Morgana exhales heavily. All right, let's cut to the chase here. I like girls, Gwen, and my job doesn't exactly make holding down a relationship easy, which means that I have certain needs that don't tend to get satisfied on a regular basis, so I have a secretary. Gwen blinks. She can't possibly, except that she pretty obviously does mean. Jesus Christ. Gwen has absolutely no idea how to react. Morgana is very, very pretty, and is being awfully nice for someone who's proposing to pay her for sexual favors, but, well, isn't this really rather disturbingly similar to prostitution? If you need time to think, I'll do it, Gwen says, even whilst her sensible brain is shrieking, What? What? Fucking what? Except that there are all those zeros on the end of that figure on the post-it, and at that rate Gwen would only need to do it for a year to be able to afford her own flat and buy a proper, none-falling-to-bits kind of car, and maybe take her dad on holiday, and Morgana's very pretty. How bad could it be? Bad, she decides the next day, her first day as Morgana's secretary. Very bad. Really, indescribably bad. God, what the fuck was she thinking? What is Morgana going to want to do? And she has to pull over to the side of the road and get out of her falling-to-bits kind of car and bend over and breathe deeply for a moment or so. She hasn't even been with a woman in a couple of years now, probably because she doesn't mix them with alcohol as regularly as she does men. She goes out with the other girls in the secretary pool from time to time, but they're all mostly hopelessly straight, all with boyfriends or husbands or people it's just complicated with, so she's never tried to snog any of them. At least, she doesn't think she has. Maybe that isn't a bad idea, though, alcohol. After a certain number of units, she tends to stick her tongue pretty much anywhere she fancies, and it isn't like she doesn't fancy Morgana, except... No, no, really, first day at work, she is not showing up drunk. She is just going to have to tell Morgana that she's made a mistake. She can't do it. Morgana seems like a reasonable sort of woman, very friendly, very sweet. She'll be okay about it. Somehow, Gwen manages to get back into her car and drive the rest of the way to work. She has her own little office, outside of Morgana's, that people have to walk through to get to Morgana's door. There's a desk and a much more comfortable chair than she's used to, and a much more modern computer. She spends the morning moving her things from her desk down on the third floor, all the way up to Morgana's on the 10th. Her pens, her collection of plastic trolls, the bookmark with the happy-looking kitten on it, the mug shaped like an elephant that Dad bought her for her 9th birthday, her stapler, her hole punch, her little book of calm, her special love heart-shaped post-its. It takes a couple of boxes to clear out her old desk, and then several hours fussing and arranging and rearranging them on her new one. Morgana is in and out. She waves cheerfully at Gwen the first time she sees her in the morning. But after it becomes apparent that she's not going to proposition her quite yet, Gwen calms down and sets about alphabetizing the files stacked up in cabinets opposite her desk. It's soothing. Settling in, all right. Morgana sticks her head out of her office around lunchtime. Oh, yes, Gwen tells her, over another stack of files, stomach jumping. Organizing, I see, Morgana observes with a grin. Knew you'd be good. I possibly won't need you too much over the next couple of days. Dad's attempting a bit of an aggressive takeover with Mercia Industries, so I'll mostly be running in and out of meetings, looking like I mean business. Which means you're free to take a bit of time to get sorted out, really. Oh, right, that's good. Gwen grips the files to her like a shield. One thing, though. Morgana disappears momentarily, and then reappears, holding two pairs of shoes. Which do you reckon for heading up an aggressive takeover? Killer heels or the bitchy ankle boots? Gwen has never heard a pair of boots being described as bitchy before. Heels, she says. Good choice. Morgana disappears inside her office again, then leaves shortly after. It is eerily quiet in her little sub-office. Gwen isn't used to quiet. The third floor is open plan and loud. She had a cubicle next door to Shireen, who was always playing on her Nintendo DS under the desk, and across from Merlin, who was always bringing her cups of tea and popping by to steal her biscuits. There are always phones ringing, or people arguing, or computers humming, the photocopier whirring somewhere in the background, and the clatter of cutlery in the break room. She realizes she's missed her regular lunch break, so everyone should already be back to work. No one to eat her tuna panini with. She goes back to alphabetizing Morgana's filing system. It's 4 days before Morgana calls her into her office with the clear intention of asking for something other than those duties typically required of a secretary. The end of the week, and nearly 3 in the afternoon, and Gwen has spent most of the last few days sorting and alphabetizing, telling people that Morgana isn't available to meet with them, and helping Morgana choose which pair of shoes to wear that day. She's almost forgotten about that little extra part of her contract, the one that adds all those zeros onto the end of her paycheck. or at the very least, she's managing to shunt it to the back of her mind. Morgana is at her desk, with her hair down and slightly awry, looking as if she wants to strangle something. "This," she informs Gwen, "has been a long fucking week." "Hmm," Gwen nods, as helpfully as she can muster. "Look, could you just get under the desk?" Morgana waves a hand. "I'm really not in the mood to beat about the bush with this, which I won't be, by the way, whenever I ask you to do this sort of thing." Gwen takes a breath. "Right then." "Okay," she murmurs, and she slides beneath Morgana's desk. She probably isn't visible, she realizes, from the window into her own office just beyond the door, or even from the door itself. Someone could come in and not even realize she's there, which is at least a little reassuring. Morgana is wearing a skirt, which makes things reasonably straightforward, just so long as Gwen can remember exactly what the hell she is meant to do to get a girl off. Women are complicated, after all. Not like men, with whom the basic mechanics are never really going to change, even if the details might. Neither is there much light under the desk, or much room to maneuver. Just Morgana's feet, in the heels Gwen picked out for her that morning, and her calves, and knees, and thighs. Gwen strokes her fingers over the flesh, which is smooth and creamy and hot to the touch. She's wearing red silk knickers. Of course she is. What else is Morgana going to be in but red silk underwear? She probably has a matching bra on. Except that Gwen has to wonder how to get her out of those. Can she just work around them? Maybe? She runs her hands further up, and Morgana abruptly inches forward on her seat. "Get on with it, Gwen." "Charming," Gwen thinks, and then leans forward and places her mouth against the inside of Morgana's thigh, rubbing her thumb over the silk covering Morgana's crotch. She can already feel a little moisture gathering there, can smell her, in fact. Faint, musky, not unpleasant. Oh, fuck it. Gwen slips her fingers inside the leg of Morgana's knickers and feels her, immediately, moist folds of tissuey skin, filmy fluids coating her fingers, shaved. Her hair is just starting to grow back, a little prickly. Morgana twitches, her legs are tensing up, and Gwen pushes aside the damp crotch of her underwear and applies her tongue to the area before she can think too hard about what she is currently doing. Under a desk, eating out your boss for money. Under a desk. She can't really see anything at this angle, at least, even if she is basically French kissing her boss's cunt, and Morgana isn't making any noise, so at least she can sort of think her way out of the situation, except that if she does that, she suspects this isn't going to be any good, and given how much she's paying for it, Morgana clearly expects a certain level of service. Gwen is quite out of practice, unless she counts what she does to herself with her fingers every couple of days or so. But she laps and sucks and buries her tongue into every crevice and fold it comes across, and, well, it isn't bad, actually. She tastes sort of all right, salty, clean, sharp, and she smells good, Morgana's soap and perfume mingling with her sweat and the very real, carnal scent of her sex. It's a bit overpowering, but nice, very nice. And then Morgana comes, which Gwen can tell by the abrupt way her thighs tense, and then the sudden rush of fluids, and Morgana making a very soft, sweet O sound. And that's it. The whole thing has taken, what, 5, 10 minutes? Gwen clambers back, out from under the desk, blinking in the sudden daylight, and distractedly wiping her mouth as she gets to her feet. Morgana is sat just as she was, looking a little flushed. "Thank you," she murmurs, glancing away. Gwen nods. Might go to the bathroom to, of course, Morgana tells her. Gwen takes a breath. "Next time, could you..." "My underwear needs to come off in advance, doesn't it?" Morgana looks abruptly sheepish. "Yeah, sorry, I should have thought. I'm out of practice." "Me too," Gwen assures her, and Morgana laughs. Gwen shuts herself in a bathroom stall 5 minutes later and thrusts a hand between her legs, rubbing hard against the hot, bright core of arousal that has flared up there under Morgana's desk. Oh, that had felt just a little too good. Just a little. She comes quickly, and, trying to put the entire incident out of her mind, returns to her desk. so they develop a sort of routine. It happens usually once a week, Thursdays or Fridays, depending on exactly how stressful the week has been for Morgana. Gwen quickly works out that whether or not Morgana arrives in a skirt is a decent predictor for whether or not she's going to want something of Gwen during the day. It doesn't take long, however, for her to learn to predict it by Morgana's behavior in the first half of the week. Which day does she let her hair down so that she can play with it distractedly? Does she start twitching her hands about on her desk regularly before lunchtime? Is she constantly taking her glasses off and chewing on one of the legs? And the thing is that there's nothing happening that Gwen has any real objection to. All Morgana ever wants is for Gwen to crawl under her desk and, well, and Gwen can do that. She actually finds herself quite happy to do that. It's weirdly nice sometimes. Quiet, safe, dark. Just her getting intimately acquainted with Morgana's crotch. There's something a bit fulfilling about it. She's deft, efficient, professional, and so's Morgana. There's no tension about where this is going, because there is no this to be going anywhere in particular. There's no pressure on Gwen to talk and try to be interesting or charming or entertaining. There's no desperate scrambling for witty topics of conversation. There's no innuendo. There's just Morgana with her nervous hands and wet red mouth, her killer heels and dainty ankles, and the way she smells good when she's aroused. It's reassuring to Gwen, knowing there's no way she can screw this up. There are rules, boundaries, a set of legally binding guidelines. It makes her feel confident. She's certain she's doing a better job at this than she would ordinarily manage. And afterwards, she can lock herself in a bathroom stall and garner her own satisfaction from the arrangement. Plus, there is that first paycheck, which is even more healthy than Morgana had promised it would be. At which point, Gwen phones her dad and arranges to take him out for a steak dinner. It strikes her that actually, she's really enjoying this whole business. That a teeny tiny part of her may be looking forward to the days when Morgana wears a skirt to work. That she especially likes it when Morgana sometimes reaches under the desk and tangles a hand in Gwen's hair, and tugs, not hard enough that it particularly hurts, but enough that she feels sort of anchored. Morgana doesn't make any noise, so the fingers in Gwen's hair tend to be the best indication that she has that she's doing a good job. Thing is that this is also sordid and interesting. It's not what Gwen is used to at all, and she's relishing it a little. Gwen has been good for as long as she can remember. She was the sweet, quiet girl whose mom had died. She always handed in her homework on time. She never bunked off lessons. Never even faked illness to get out of P.E. She didn't discover girls or boys until she'd started college, and then generally she was careful, shy. She'd been a virgin until after her 21st birthday, for God's sake. She works hard, and she has dinner with her dad every Sunday, and she keeps a picture of kittens as the desktop wallpaper on her computer at work. She isn't the sort of person who people assume must think about sex on a regular basis, even though she does, sometimes at extremely inappropriate moments. Like she'll be driving to work and stop at the crossing by the primary school and find herself picturing what the lollipop lady would look like naked, and wondering what any of the pretty young mothers sound like when they orgasm. She definitely isn't the sort of person who people assume might enjoy crawling under somebody's desk and eating them out at work, in only the semi-privacy of an office, let alone getting some kind of kick out of being paid for it. But there it is. Gwen is enjoying being paid for sexual favors, is enjoying it even more when Morgana is ever so slightly rough with her, even if it's just a gesture as tame as having her hair tugged. "I'm a perv," Gwen thinks, rather proudly, as Morgana calls her into her office on a Friday afternoon. She spends 15 glorious minutes being exactly as pervy as she wants to be, and Morgana tugs her hair and then strokes it afterwards, before Gwen clambers back out from under the desk. The only slight problem is that the floor under Morgana's desk isn't at all comfortable to spend any time kneeling on, and her knees are taking a bruising. Maybe she should start bringing a pillow in with her. She does, and answers Morgana's questioningly raised eyebrow matter-of-factly. Knees. Ah. The pillow is a bit of a bad omen, though, as it turns out, because that's the first time they get interrupted. Gwen has just wriggled her tongue inside Morgana and has gotten nicely, wonderfully absorbed in the task at hand, without the troubling distraction of knee ache, when she hears the click of Morgana's office door opening and realizes that someone else has just walked in. "Arthur!" Morgana sounds as horrified as Gwen feels. She jerks back from the woman, but realizes that if she moves too much, she's going to end up making herself visible to the man who's just come through the door. Arthur Bloody Pendragon, of all people. "Have we not talked about you learning to knock?" "Your secretary is not outside, so you're just going to have to deal with me directly." Arthur sounds characteristically smug. "Look, have you got the list of redundancies drawn up yet? Uther's been bending my ear about it all week." Gwen stays absolutely, totally still, whilst Morgana tells Arthur quite pointedly that no, she does not have the list of redundancies, and her father can shove said list up his arse when he does eventually come up with it. Oddly enough, choosing which employees of Mercia Industries' lives to wade into and hack apart with redundancy notice is not an easy task, and may take her a while to get through. Arthur spends about 5 minutes valiantly resisting Morgana's attempts to get rid of him, then finally leaves after what sounds like a lot of eye-rolling and pedantic gesticulation. Gwen waits for a count of 30 after the office door finally clicks closed behind him, before sliding out from under Morgana's desk and glancing up at her employer. Morgana is flushed and flustered and twitching nervously about her desk with her hands again. Her brow is drawn tight like a bowstring. The conversation with Arthur, all that redundancy stuff, has brought her mood spiraling down again. She looks like a slapped child. "I'm sorry about him. He's like that." "Yeah, I know," Gwen tells her, gingerly getting to her feet. "We've met. Office party." "Oh, right." Gwen gestures at the door. "I should..." "Yes." Morgana's voice is tight, her gaze distracted. She's chewing her bottom lip, her wet red mouth all twisted around a look of ugly displeasure. Gwen gets halfway to her desk with her stomach in a knot over the entire incident when she realizes she has left her cushion under her boss's desk. She re-enters Morgana's office to find her just as she left her, looking like she's been forced to swallow something unpleasant. "Cushion," Gwen explains as she scurries to retrieve it, but Morgana fishes it up for her, mustering a quick, dry smile. "I'm sorry," she says unexpectedly. "He interrupted you, and you are stuck down there all..." "It's fine," Gwen assures her, firmly. "Suppose it's a bit of an occupational hazard, really." "Yes," Morgana manages a gasp of laughter at the idea. "A bit." Then she goes back to frowning and chewing her lip again. So Gwen leans down and kisses her. For no reason, really. No reason at all, except that it seems like she needs to be kissed. Sometimes people need it, she's always reckoned. Like Merlin needed to be kissed that time in A&E. Not that that ended too well, but still. Morgana blinks at her for a moment, when it's over, then flushes again, although suddenly her smile is genuine and warm and open as a summer's day. Her wet red mouth is the right shape again. She glances down at her fingers, now thoroughly distracted. "What was that for?" "Seemed like a good idea at the time," Gwen tells her, honestly. And Morgana laughs. "You have any other good ideas, keep running them by me." "Okay," Gwen replies, feeling quite silly now, actually, as she takes her pillow and gets back to her desk as quickly as possible, wondering why her stomach is doing that odd, happy, swooping thing it normally only ever does right before she gets to buy a brand new pair of shoes or see a film she's been waiting for ages to come out. Morgana spends the next 3 weeks stressed out of her mind. Stress beyond what Gwen and her clever tongue can do to relieve her. Stress beyond what chocolate hobnobs can fix. Stress beyond the comforts of killer high heels and soothingly alphabetized filing systems. Gwen observes her helplessly for a while, feeling at a bit of a loose end. Because really, if cunnilingus isn't enough to cheer a woman up, what is? Morgana hates making people redundant, and she especially hates doing it on a deadline. She's not taking lunch breaks anymore, Gwen realizes, and she begins to worry about what the other woman is eating, because really, it can't be much. Hobnobs, mostly. And there are rumblings elsewhere in the building, because people are getting antsy, waiting to hear who's going. They think Morgana is deliberately drawing it out. They think she enjoys having that kind of power. Gwen bites her tongue whilst listening to such conversations around water coolers, in the toilets, in the queue of one of the popular local sandwich shops at lunch. She doesn't think Morgana exactly needs her to defend her reputation. She's a big girl, after all, and she must know what people say about her, and she's never tried to dispel the rumors. But Gwen still doesn't like people talking like that, not when they don't know the young, sweet, slender woman, with her red mouth and storm cloud eyes, and her taste for chocolate hobnobs, who is currently so miserable in her job that not even oral sex is cheering her up. So Gwen continues to bring her boss tea and coffee and hobnobs on a regular basis, and a warm flannel from time to time, because aren't those always nice? Gwen thinks so, anyway. And comfy slippers, and then lends her little book of calm. Long after she's meant to go home in the evenings, she stays, because she feels bad leaving Morgana locked up in her office, hunched over her computer, looking stricken, for God knows how long into the night. She brings her more coffee, and perches on the edge of Morgana's desk with her own mug, and they both sip, silently. It's got dark outside. No kiss this time, Morgana asks, with a wry smile. Gwen feels another twinge of embarrassment. It had been a silly thing to do, even if it had been the right one. Yeah, no, don't think that'd cheer you up if all the other stuff isn't. Maybe not. Morgana looks tired, but at least a little amused, and she tips her head back, exposing rather a lot of long, pale neck. Couldn't hurt to try, though. Gwen takes that as an instruction, and leans down and presses her mouth to Morgana's lower lip. It feels awkward and clumsy, though not entirely unpleasant. Morgana's smile, a moment later, is quick, genuine. She glances away, going all pink again, and touching Gwen's sleeve like she really wants to take the other woman's hand. "Go home, Gwen," she says. "I'll be fine." Of course, Gwen fully intends to go home. She sees it in her mind's eye. Nodding, backing away, making grateful, sympathetic noises, picking up her coat and bag, shutting down her desktop computer, grabbing her car keys, thinking about dinner. Except that then something weird happens, and she and Morgana somehow have rather a lot of sex on her office floor for the next couple of hours. She's not entirely sure why, however, decides, after her second orgasm, that there doesn't really need to be a why, so long as Morgana keeps doing that thing with her tongue. Afterwards, they collapse in a gasping, sweaty heap on one of Morgana's fancy rugs, and Morgana is laughing and looking genuinely happy for the first time in ages. "God, you're good at that, Gwen," she giggles. She has on a red silk bra, but her knickers, although no longer on, are black lace. Gwen seriously doubts that this is normal for Morgana. She's not the sort of woman who mixes and matches underwear. Can't be a good sign. Gwen, personally, is just trying not to be too self-conscious about her plain white sports bra and blue cotton knickers with the little white Scotty dogs on them. "I mean, I knew you were, but still," Morgana exhales with a grin. "How are you, anyway? All right?" She touches her little finger to Gwen's chin, and Gwen feels silly and safe and warm for a second. Her thigh is still resting between Morgana's. Her red mouth is smudged. "Good," Gwen tells her, as Morgana picks sweat-sticky tendrils of hair off her forehead and kisses her. She's very pretty when she's half-naked and has her mouth all smudged like that. "Well, that's all right, then," Morgana gives her ear a nip. "We probably should both go home now, though." They don't go home, though. They have sex again, and by the time it's morning, Gwen has decided that there was nothing in her contract about what she and Morgana are now doing, and that she doesn't care. The end.